world and preach in different situations, you really appreciate a good music team. Sometimes it gets so crazy, you appreciate a band that can just carry a tune in a bucket. So, awesome. All right, let's go ahead and we'll start the broadcast and the recording, just so you guys know. God's got something for you tonight. I've got a word that I'm going to get into, but I feel like we need to just spend a few minutes here praying in tongues. To stir up the gift of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So just everybody pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Kola ramaman kamarinere mirimama sankara. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Kura mama mama ramasan kamarinere diria. Reishi kebriya mama masan kamalorubo sankumuro sekiria. Yes, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Roma mama sankamalambra kasenkamarinininiria. Thank you, Spirit of God. Rebe shekebreka mama sankamalambre keshekamaramana. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Reme me shenkamelembre keshekiria. Roma maman kamalambre kekamalose kamaranerinire. Lola Rebecca Marama Manka Masanko Lora Baku Sekiriaria. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Robo Kobo Sora Mama Mara Manka Mara Manka Masinteriana. Roma Remenka Mishenke, Sheikha Bro Sekabrianirianka. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Stir up your faith. Stir it up right now. Stir it up, stir it up, stir it up. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for a greater realm of the Spirit here at Calvary Cathedral. That we break over into a greater realm of the Spirit, a greater realm of the blessing of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Rebe shekebre shekereya na na na. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, Rabo Sokobrenene. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, for your glory here right now. Thank you, Jesus, for your anointing here right now. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Re mama mama kam renene me mama sanka. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, step up to a higher plane right now. Step up to a higher plane right now. Koma raman kam rama mon kam renene. You're going to get a breakthrough right now in your personal life just praying with the corporate body. Thank you, Lord, for the spirit of prayer. Hallelujah. The spirit of prayer right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Reshike yes and kamarama masankamarinide. Rose kebreshekebreshekabrasha kalarama mamanda. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the glory of God's rolling in this place right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory to God. Glory, glory, glory to God. Thank you, Spirit of God. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Hamra mama sankamarobo bo sekerenene miria. Romren, just pray another minute or two for your breakthrough. Just pray in tongues. Hallelujah. And stir up your most holy faith in the Spirit right now, praying for your breakthrough. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Some of you are getting a hold of something in the Spirit right now. Hallelujah. Some of you are getting a hold of something in the Spirit right now that you need. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 You know, we can never lose our cutting edge in the Spirit. We can never lose our cutting edge in prayer. We can never get to the place, we should never get to the place where we stop being hungry for what God wants to do next. You know, I believe that's why God gave manna daily to the children of Israel, was to keep them looking for Him and what He was going to do next. We should never get to the place where we're just totally satisfied. I mean, there ought to be a fire in you at any moment just to pray in the Spirit. There ought to be a fire on the inside of you at any moment to release your faith and to step over into the Spirit of God. And I believe there is. Hallelujah. But we should never get to the place where we're not hungry. We've got to stay in a place where we maintain our cutting edge for what God is going to do next. You know, I'm not preaching my message I preached last Sunday night, but one of my points was that tenacious faith wins by not getting conditioned by bad conditions. You can't let bad conditions take away your cutting edge. That's what the devil wants to do. Amen. Hallelujah. So keep your cutting edge. Amen. Keep praying in the Spirit. Keep your cutting edge. Stay on top. Stay hungry for the next thing that God has for you, but stay hungry for the next thing that God has for this church. Stay hungry for the next thing or the current thing that God has for the body of Christ, because God is looking for people that are hungry for Him. And if Calvary Cathedral was to get lackadaisical about it and say, well, we just had 9 months of powerful revival meetings, now it's time to kick it into neutral for a while, but God's ready to do something else, then He may find a church down the road that's going to step into it, and all of a sudden you're going to be scrolling through Facebook and see that the church down the road is where the angel of the Lord, the power of the Spirit of God, is starting to manifest. And you're like, I thought God told me that was going to happen here. Well, you lost your hunger. You lost your cutting edge. And not that we're in competition against other churches, because we're not, because they are us. We are the body of Christ. But God's eyes are roaming to and fro throughout the earth, looking for somebody on whose behalf He can show Himself strong. He's looking for somebody. Hallelujah. We got to keep our cutting edge. Don't let things that have happened, you know, there's been great things have happened, but you may have perceived some things that in your eyes that look like, oh, that wasn't awesome. I don't agree. I don't know about what God or this happened with this preacher. Hey, don't let those things dull the edge of your faith. Don't let those things begin to dull your hunger. Stay on the cutting edge of what God wants to do. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So He can do something more. He can do something greater. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5.
Actually, back up a few verses into chapter 4. You know, Paul didn't insert chapters in there. And sometimes they have chapters at good places, sometimes they have chapters at bad places. This is not a good place, in my opinion. Verse 23 of chapter 4. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up our Lord Jesus from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So Jesus was delivered to the cross for our offenses because of our sin, and he was raised up for our justification. So that's what Jesus did. You got to be careful in your Christian walk that you don't use your faith to try to accomplish what Jesus' faith already accomplished. Well, that's real powerful right there. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Amen. I want to read verse 2 again. By whom we have access by faith, by Jesus we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We stand in the grace and into this grace wherein we stand. So, if you know, just based on grammar, when he said this grace, that means he already stated what it was. And what it was Jesus being raised again for our justification. So the grace of God is what is given to us as a result of Jesus being raised again for your justification. Now let's just define justification right quick. Justification doesn't just mean that you're justified as if you had never sinned. Oh, I could get shot for the saying that one, but it does mean that, but it's not only that. It's a cool phrase, but it doesn't translate into Spanish. Where did that come from, David? I've been over in Mexico and you have preachers and everybody has these cool phrases. They come and they want to preach. Justified means justified, never sinned. You try saying that in Spanish, Paul. It ain't going to happen. So just the fact that it doesn't translate into Spanish means it's not entirely, you know, it's not comprehensive truth. So there's an element of truth to it. But justification, being Jesus being raised again for our justification, means that he was raised again and he justified you in receiving everything that God has up in heaven. I don't know how any other way to say it. The glory of God in Exodus, when Moses was looking on God's face, the glory of God was so strong that Moses couldn't look on him and live. And Moses' face began to radiate so strong from looking at the glory of God that he had to put a veil over his face in Old Testament times because it could not be contained. So when God sent Jesus to die on the cross and raised him up for our justification, what happened is all of the glory that Moses could not look at all of a sudden became justified. Whereas with Moses and everybody in the Old Testament, they weren't justified in receiving it. It was too much for them. It was too much glory for them to handle. I'm here to tell you tonight that all of that glory, all of God's goodness that he has up in heaven, you are justified in receiving it right now. Hallelujah. You are justified in receiving all of God's glory for your healing. You are justified in receiving all of God's glory, all of his goodness. God's glory is his goodness towards man. You can write that down, the definition. God's glory is his goodness towards mankind. It's not just this shining, glowish, yellow, gold aura that shines around about him. God's glory is his goodness towards man. So you are justified in receiving God's glory, hallelujah, in fullness, whereas in the Old Testament they couldn't receive it. It was so awesome. And the glory that Moses couldn't handle wasn't just because it was like, you know, looking into the sun. You know, we recently had the eclipse, and they always have to warn everybody. You know, for all the people that don't know any better, don't look at the sun. Oh, wow. I'm so glad you told me that. I didn't know. I've been looking at the sun every day of my life. I'm so glad they told me that. I can't look at the sun on an eclipse day, but every other day I can look at the sun all I want. That's not what happened with Moses. Moses didn't suffer decay or problem with his eyes because it was so bright. Moses couldn't handle it because the goodness of God, when you look in the face of Jesus, when you look in the face of God the Father, all you see is goodness towards you, Janice Jordan. That's all that there is. And the goodness that God has towards you is so exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think that it just blew Moses' face. I don't know what happened to his face, but it just blew it somewhere. It blew it, some adjective, just throw something in there. But he couldn't take it because God's goodness and his glory was so exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. And now you are justified in receiving that in your life. Hallelujah. So we got to understand what has already happened. That's the whole basis of faith. That's the whole basis of your victory tonight, is that you have to understand what has already happened. You've got to do away with the mindset that you're only going to get out of life what your faith can accomplish. Oh, I could get shot down for saying that, but let me finish talking. You get out of life what your faith can receive, not what your faith can accomplish. Jesus' faith already accomplished it. And here in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, Jesus was the one who was delivered for our sin. It wasn't David King. You can all thank God that David wasn't up on that cross, because it had been over, baby. It would have been over. I'd have been dead a long time ago. I don't know what would have happened. You know, so everybody gets mad at Adam. You know, man, if Adam hadn't have sinned. Well, I'm here to tell you that if Adam hadn't have sinned, that I'm going to call, you know, Paul. No, I'm not going to pick on Paul. Any of us in this building would have been the first one to sin. If Adam hadn't have sinned, you'd have been the first one to sin. Hallelujah. So we can't point the finger at anybody. And Jesus, it's not about how good you were. It's not about whether or not Adam sinned. You know, thank God. Let me rabbit trail a little bit. Thank God that Adam sinned, because it says later on in Romans chapter 5, much more is the gift of grace. Adam's sin, all that means now is that we have greater grace and it's unconditional. You cannot sin and get out of the grace of God unless you renounce and reject Jesus and you blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Then you've gone too far. But you know, a day you get mad, something goes wrong, and you slip a little minor cuss word, nobody heard you say it, you're not going to hell. Somebody in here needs to hear that tonight. You don't have to repent and answer the next altar call because you said bleep. I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm not endorsing your bleep. It's wrong. You shouldn't have bleeped. But you're not going to hell because you bleeped. Much more was the gift of grace. Adam, all it took was one sin and it was over. It's not that way with you anymore. Now, having said that, I'm just digging all kinds of holes tonight. Romans chapter 6. You don't have to turn there unless you want to. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? May it never be. So the grace of God is not there for you just to sin it up all you want and have a lot of fun. If that's your attitude, then you may miss the grace of God, because that ain't the grace of God. Hallelujah. Mankind was never put on the earth to be totally sinless on his own will and his own volition. That was never the plan. That was never the plan for your life, was for you to never sin. Come on, somebody, say hallelujah, because we all know it's true. We know you. You're acting all holy here. You got your halo above your head, but we know you. I'm just kidding. You weren't put on this earth to not sin. Your righteousness and your holiness, was the plan was never for that to come into your life by you not sinning. God knew from the foundation of the world that Adam was going to blow it right out the chute. The first temptation that there was, bang, he and Eve blew it big time. That was it. It's not like this devil had to warm them up and try a few things. I mean, one temptation, bang, it was over. God knew that. He's not dumb. He didn't get caught off guard when Adam sinned, and neither did God get caught off guard when you blew it and you made a mistake. So, you know, look, I learned a long time ago, probably when I was 19 years old, and I'll just kind of get a little open with you right now, in dealing with things that single young men deal with. I learned instantly that if I ever had a problem with that, then the bigger problem with that sin was not the sin, it was me beating myself up because of that sin. And when I realized that what I needed to do, if I fell to sin, if I made a mistake, small or big or whatever you may think about it, if I sinned, if I blew it, or any area of life, be it a slip in a bad bleep, whatever your situation, what I had to realize is that the issue there was not the sin. The sin wasn't the problem as much as the condemnation that I put myself in because of the sin. Because it's not about you in your own works living a sinless and a perfect life. Jesus has given you His righteousness, and He has made you justified here in Romans chapter 4. He has given you and made you justified. You have to receive it by faith. Hallelujah. But the good news is it's not based on your works. Hallelujah. By grace are we saved through faith, and that not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. It's not about your works. Hallelujah. So you have to understand that the basis of your faith, the basis of your Christian walk, is not dependent on your actions. It's dependent on the actions that Jesus had when He was delivered on the cross and raised up again for our sins and for our justification. Hallelujah. And I want you to know that Jesus walked the line perfect. When the Word says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, that we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for our sake He became poor. Jesus on the cross experienced poverty. Yeah. Let me just talk about that for a minute. Jesus on the cross experienced poverty. On the cross, He experienced every kind of sickness. The Bible says He was not recognizable as a man. So that's really, really bad. But Jesus on the cross became poor. When Jesus was on the cross, did somebody come up, a creditor, come up to Jesus and say, "Hey, Jack, before you die, I need my 5,000 denarii because you owe me money. I'm going to repo your house." Is that what happened?
No.
Is that how Jesus experienced poverty? I need you to think about this for a minute. Is that how Jesus experienced poverty? Was He just wealthy His whole life in ministry, which He was? He had a treasurer.
Yes, amen.
And not because He couldn't count that high. He just had a treasurer because He needed somebody to handle the money because it was a full-time job. You got to have a lot of money to have somebody that handles your money who has a full-time job.
Yeah.
So the Word says, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 8, verse 9, Jesus became poor on the cross. How did He become poor? There was no creditor that showed up and said, "Hey, you owe me money. I want my money." So that was not the poverty. That was not poverty that came against Jesus. The poverty that came against Jesus was the curse, and it was the attack of the devil. It was the lack attack, and it was the curse of lack. Hallelujah. So just track with me here. If that's the poverty that came against Jesus, then you have the ability to break poverty. Well, I'm stuck in poverty. I can't get out because the bills. Hey, look, I understand that. I understand that bills and things have to be taken care of. But the root of the issue is what Jesus dealt with on the cross. He broke the spirit of lack on the cross. Hallelujah. If it was just about bills and Jesus pulled some money out of His pocket or told His mom, "Pay them," then, oh, that's how Jesus defeated lack at the cross. Then you'd say, "Well, then I got to have somebody take up some money and give me and take care of my bill." I'm telling you, God's going to take care of your bills, but you got to understand the root of it is not the bills. God's going to take care. God's got provision. He's got money coming to you. You've got to understand the root of it is not the money. The root of it is that spirit of lack, which Jesus defeated at the cross for you. Hallelujah. You got to deal with this stuff at the root and stop sweating the fruit. You know what we do a lot of the time is we get so focused on the fruit. Well, the money. I got to have $5,000 by the end of the month. Hey, praise God. I believe He's going to provide. But if you get so focused on that, you get your vision on that thing, what you're doing is you're getting so focused on the fruit. It's like wanting to take a big apple, and you've got an apple tree over here that's not producing fruit. You're like, "I got lack." So you grab the apple and you take it over to your tree that's not making any fruit. You go buy an apple at Walmart and you take it over to this tree that's not producing any fruit, and you tape it to the tree. That's what it's like when you have a need from God and you need God to work in your life and you're totally focused on the fruit. God is going to give you the fruit. Don't worry about that. It's going to take place. It's going to be okay. But you got to focus on the root of the issue. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody praise God for that. The root of, and that's the good news is that the root has already been taken care of for you. He became poor so that we might be made rich. Now that word might doesn't exist in the Greek in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9. So there's no might, there's no maybe about it. God has given you, He's provided for you wealth. Hallelujah. Amen. So Jesus at the cross has destroyed the spirit of lack. He has destroyed being behind on finances. He has set you free from that. Hallelujah. Amen. So you got to walk in the justification. Thank you, Amen. So verse 25 of Romans chapter 4. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. So all of the goodness of God towards man, the glory of God, everything Moses couldn't handle, all of God's goodness, God has justified you in receiving, and God has justified you in being. God has justified you in receiving it, and He has justified you in being it. That's what justification means. So starting with this foundation, Jesus is the one who conquered death, hell, and the grave. At the cross, Jesus became poor and He made you rich. So it is dealt with. Well, I've got a bill that's got to be dealt with. The root has been dealt with. If you will focus on that and focus, if you stop looking at the fruit and getting so concerned about it and look at the root of the situation, you will see that God has given you a nice, healthy tree of prosperity. If you're believing, if it's a physical issue, if you stop looking at what the Encyclopedia Britannica has to say about your condition, your physical condition, and stop looking so much at the fruit, at the natural realm, and start looking at the Word, you will see that God has a root there and a tree that is ready just to spring forth on your behalf of divine health. Hallelujah. We have got to focus on what Jesus has already done. Hallelujah. Jesus' faith has already done these things. If you try to use your faith to do what Jesus' faith already did, then you're going to frustrate yourself. That's what Paul said in Galatians chapter 2. I do not frustrate the grace of God, because otherwise Christ died in vain. Jesus' faith justified you in being blessed financially. Jesus' faith justified you in being walking in divine health. Jesus' faith justified you in being blessed in your relationships. Jesus' faith justified you in walking in a powerful anointing in your life. Jesus' faith justified you in walking in increase in your business. Jesus' faith has justified you, hallelujah, it goes for you, soul, increase in your business. Jesus' faith has justified you in increase in your ministry. So back to the thing that I originally spoke to. What does justification entail? It is not only just as if I'd never sinned. Much more is the grace of God. So I'm here to tell you tonight that justification means that God has given you His ability and His prosperity. God has given you His divine health and His healing power. As He is in heaven, so are you here in this earth. Hallelujah. As He is in heaven, so are you here in this earth. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. God has justified you. It's not just something that He has laid on the table, but if you were to go before the courts of heaven and say, what about this? God would say, yes, Burrells, you are justified in receiving this financial blessing and walking in it. You are already justified. You are ruled legally in the realm of the Spirit and by the Word of God as walking in divine health. Hallelujah. It's already done. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So your faith receives what Jesus' faith has provided. It's a faith partnership. The job of your faith, please eliminate this from your mindset. The job of your faith is not to accomplish all of the responsibility of faith. Jesus has done like 99.9999999%. of it. He has defeated death, hell, and the grave. He has already justified you in being prospered, justified you in walking in divine health. It is true. All your faith has to do is receive what Jesus has provided. As Pastor said so many times, grace provides and faith obtains. The grace of God is everything that Jesus' faith has accomplished for you. Everything that Jesus' faith did on the cross, everything that Jesus' faith did when He rose from the dead and justified you, made you totally just in walking in health, totally just in walking in health, in wealth, everything that Jesus' faith did when He rose from the dead has been provided to you. All your faith has to do is receive it. Hallelujah. That's all your faith has to do is receive it. Hallelujah. So now, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So by Jesus, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. The grace of God. I want to talk to you tonight about standing in grace is your unstoppable victory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I've just given you a good intro, I hope. Standing in grace is your unstoppable victory. I'm going to tell you tonight, this is the way to not be defeated. You can't be defeated if you fight a battle that you've already won. You can't be defeated if you fight a battle that you've already won. If you're trying to fight Jesus's battle, Jesus's fight of faith, then you're probably going to be defeated. But you can't be defeated if you fight your fight of faith. That's why it's the good fight of faith, because it's the fight that you win. Hallelujah. There's no such thing as the fight of faith that you lose. God never has planned that. God never has made provision for you to lose a fight of faith. God never has laid out a fight of faith for you to fight, to stand in faith and believe Him for something and not receive it. He's already made provision for you to receive everything that He has at the cross. Every fight of faith that you lay the sword of the Spirit to, that you take the sword and pray with the Word of God, praying always, you are going to win. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Standing in grace is your unstoppable victory. So, Jesus has already dealt with all of this at the cross. What Jesus did at the cross not only took care of your wrongdoing, but it took care of the blessing of God, the over and abundance that He wanted to give you. It took care of the health and the wealth that God has for you, His glory and His goodness. So the grace of God has been provided to you. So you have the ability, when you stand in faith, I want you to understand this right now. When Jesus rose from the dead, it was the job was completely finished. In Colossians, it said that He made a show of the devil openly, triumphing over him in it. Hallelujah. So don't sweat the devil. Now, we do need to be mindful of the devil's devices. I understand that. But Jesus has made a show over the devil, triumphing over him in it. So He's already defeated. Jesus, it says in Hebrews, through death, He destroyed the power of death. So death has been defeated. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. So Jesus has already conquered all of these things. He's already won the victory. There is not one single thing that Jesus left undone when He rose from the dead. That's why God rose Him from the dead, because it was finished right then and there. Hallelujah. I want you to know that your prosperity was finished right then and there. Your health, your miracle was finished right then and there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It was all done right there on the cross. He didn't leave a single thing out. There's nothing He forgot about. There's no bill. There's no amount of money. There's no health situation that God has forgotten about. You know, just recently I was praying and believing God about something in regards to finances. And I'm thinking, Lord, what do I need to do? I thought, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to pray and I'm going to get the wisdom of God. What is the wisdom of God? And the Holy Ghost told me, He said, you don't need wisdom. It's not something you need to know right now. It's something you need to do. In other words, I didn't need to know, well, what's the strategy? I'm talking to you about receiving everything that Jesus has done for you on the cross. Sometimes we can get caught up to where we just want wisdom. And don't get me wrong, I love wisdom. I'm a lover of wisdom. I'm always praying for wisdom because I want to know that I'm doing the right thing. But sometimes we can get caught up too much on wanting to know what's the answer, as if there's something else that you need to do. And sometimes there is, but sometimes there's not. Sometimes there is nothing else in the realm of the natural that you need to do. that you need to know, that you need to have understanding about. You have already got understanding. You already know everything. It's time for you just to praise God. It's time for you just to begin to rejoice and shout and praise God. We've got to be careful about getting too hung up on thinking something else needs to happen. That's the mind. That's a carnal mindset. Let me just give you. I'm going to do a rabbit trail right now. We've got to be careful about getting caught up thinking that something else needs to happen. It's a carnal mindset that comes when you're believing God and standing in faith for something because you think, okay, obviously, before I came to the Lord to believe Him for this miracle, for what I need, that I didn't have it. So there's something that I need to do. There's something that I've got to do, and you begin to think something else needs to happen. But Jesus has already taken care of it on the cross. There are times when God has wisdom for you to do something else, to take a step in the realm of the natural. Like if you're dealing in business, call this person, or pay this, or sow this seed, give this offering. There are times when God has wisdom for you to do something else in the realm of the natural, but you've got to be careful not to get your eyes totally set on what is something for you to do in the natural, because the greater thing is to praise God and to rejoice in what Jesus has already done in the realm of the natural. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget the greater thing to do in the realm of the natural is what Jesus already did. Hallelujah. The greatest thing is what Jesus already did. So the greatest thing that you can do is begin to praise God for your healing. Begin to praise God for your deliverance. Begin to praise God for His answer. Hallelujah. And to begin to rejoice. Thank you, Lord. I'm telling you, the last several services, we've ended up just shouting and jumping and rejoicing. Psalm 68:3, like we exceedingly rejoice. Hallelujah. Habakkuk chapter 3. We rejoice before, yea, let them rejoice before God. Somebody turn with me there. I'm getting my verses tongue-tied. Though the fig tree may not blossom, no fruit be on the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. You see, there just comes a time when, you just need to flat rejoice. Hallelujah. Habakkuk chapter 3, 17 and 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. So Romans chapter 5, verse 2, we stand in grace. You thought I forgot that. Standing in grace is your unstoppable victory. You are standing in what Jesus already did. So the greatest thing that you can do in the time of standing in faith is praise God and rejoice in what Jesus already did in the realm of the natural. That is what is so powerful about Jesus dying on the cross. Is Jesus was not up in heaven back 2,000 years ago, and He didn't go and make some powerful transaction in the realm of the Spirit only. I mean, just think about this now. Jesus did not die in the spirit realm only. Jesus came in the flesh. He was born of a virgin and He walked this earth for 33 years in the flesh. So He died in the flesh and His flesh was risen again. So when you think now that I need a miracle and God's a spirit up there in heaven, but I need something in the realm of the natural, let me tell you, it's already been done in the realm of the natural. Your resurrection in the realm of the natural has already taken place. Hallelujah. It has already taken place. Your financial breakthrough has already taken place in the realm of the natural. You have to receive it by faith. We can't get too hung up looking in the realm of the natural for the next thing. God, what is going to take place? What do I need to do? How is this going to happen? What's the next step in the realm of the natural? Sometimes, and really the majority of the times, you just need to, having done all to stand therefore, praise God, and rejoice in the grace of God. That's why Paul said here in verse 2 that we rejoice in the grace of God wherein we stand. Why do you rejoice when you stand in the grace of God? Because the grace of God is the provision of everything that you need. Hallelujah. The grace of God is the provision of all of your healing. The grace of God is the provision of all of your finances. And you can stand in the grace of God at any time and as a faith act of your will and begin to rejoice. And the devil cannot stop you from standing in the grace of God.
The devil cannot stop that. There's nothing he can do. It may seem like he can hold up finances from somebody that's supposed to do a business deal with you. It may seem like he can hold up finances from somebody that's supposed to give to you. It may seem like he held up finances because somebody stole from you. But the devil cannot touch the grace of God that has been made available to you. Hallelujah. It's already done. Hallelujah. And begin to rejoice in the grace of God wherein you stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Begin to rejoice in what is already done. Hallelujah. It's been done in the realm of the natural. It is not only done up in heaven. It's not only done in the realm of the spirit. It has already been paid for in the realm of the natural on the cross. Your health has already been paid for in the realm of the natural on the cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Standing in grace is your unstoppable victory. Hallelujah. Because when you stand there in the grace of God, you've already got it. You're already standing in the complete work. Man, that you stand in the grace of God, the devil wants to push you and say, go do this other business deal. No, the Lord's not telling me to do that. I'm standing right here. The devil wants to push you and get you to thinking about a train of offense. And an hour later in your prayer closet, you've just spent an hour thinking about how so-and-so is offended at you. And next time you see them, you know they're going to say this and you're going to retaliate with that. Oh, no, I'm already mad. I shouldn't have said that. And it never even happened. The devil wants to get you out of the grace of God. And you begin to rejoice in the grace of God. You're hearing me preach and you begin to rejoice. But then you wake up tomorrow and then you see your bank account. You wake up tomorrow and you check your heart rate and it's still not good. You wake up tomorrow and things are not looking good in your physical body, or the pain has come back, or the pain is still there. And the devil wants to push you out of the grace of God. He wants to get you looking at your pocketbook, at your physical body, and stop looking at Jesus' physical body that rose again from the dead. He wants to get your eyes off of the grace of God. You got to stand in the grace of God. This standing in the grace of God is your unstoppable victory. I'm telling you, you have the right. You have the ability. Hallelujah. Can I switch back, Barry? You have the ability to stand in the grace of God no matter what is going on in the realm of the natural. That is why this is so powerful, what I'm preaching to you. No matter what is going on in the realm of the natural, you can just stop it all and begin to praise God and rejoice in the grace of God. The grace of God is always available. You are never in a place where God's grace is not available to you. You're never in a place where you may be thinking, somebody's got to give me money. I've got to have a business deal. I've got to have favor with the mortgage company. Hey, you may not be in a place where that's going to happen today, but you are in a place where you can stand and rejoice in the grace of God. And stop, and don't give me this mess about it's not real in the realm of the natural because it's only on the pages of the book. Let me tell you something, buddy. Jesus died on the cross in the realm of the natural. He rose from the dead in the realm of the natural. So it is totally real in the realm of the natural. It's already done. Hallelujah. Blood was spilt over that. Blood was spilled over your prosperity. Blood was spilled over your health and over your healing and over your miracle. Hallelujah. It's already real. It's already done in the realm of the natural. You have every single right. You are totally justified in standing in the grace of God and rejoicing right there in hope of the glory of God. Hallelujah. You have every single right of rejoicing and standing right there in the grace of God in hope of the glory of God. Can just say, in hope and waiting for the manifestation. Hallelujah. You have every right to stand there in the grace of God, your little grace bubble right here. You can be a bubble child. Somebody needs to be a spiritual bubble child here tonight and just begin to rejoice in your little grace bubble. Hallelujah. That's why Psalms 91 says, 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand. Why? Because I'm standing in my grace bubble. They can't touch me. Hallelujah. It's already real. It's already taken place in the realm of the natural, and I'm standing and rejoicing in the grace of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Standing in grace is your unstoppable victory. Fighting the fight of faith outside of this is always trying to reaccomplish what Jesus' faith accomplished. And that is where we squander our faith so much. And it's like we're praying the right thing.
We're praying scriptures, but at the root of our heart, we're not in the grace of God. We're out here, and we're trying to fight the fight of faith and do things that Jesus, that was Jesus' job, that was His faith's responsibility, and it's already done. Peace. Peace. Hallelujah. Peace. I just think peace is raining down right now. Peace. You can step into total peace right now. And it does not matter. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. You have peace. Jesus' faith provided. Your faith simply receives. Jesus' faith provided the healing. Jesus' faith accomplished the money miracle. Jesus' faith accomplished the wealth. Jesus' faith accomplished the divine health. The job of your faith is simply to receive. It's like a package has been wrapped, sealed, and delivered and paid for and laid on your front porch. All you have to do is sign for it by faith. How do I sign for it by faith? Well, that's another message. But to sum it up, you speak and receive it by faith and you rejoice in the grace of God. And you just stand right there. And like I said, the devil wants to come when you get in the grace of God. You're like, praise God, I got this victory. And you begin to rejoice and praise God. And then a day later, a week later, only half the miracle has come. And you begin to praise God for the half the miracle. But a week after that, you're like, the other half still hasn't come yet. And the devil's trying to push you out of the grace of God. And he's trying to tell you that it's not working. And it's not going to work. You've got to stand in the grace of God. And you cannot be moved. And you've got to rejoice therein. Hallelujah. By whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. By Jesus, you have access into this faith, into this grace, wherein you stand. Stand, therefore, having done all to stand, stand, hallelujah, in the grace of God and the provision that He has for you. Some of you just need to stand in peace with what you're believing God for. You just need to stand in peace and calm. And just stand there. Some people know about your situation. Don't let them see the sweat running down the back of your legs. You're just standing there. Hallelujah. You're not standing there like this. Oh my God, what's going to happen? Oh, shakaraba, karaba, karaba. You know, machine gun, fear tongues. That's, you know, you don't need to stand there like that. You don't need to stand there all shaking and weak. Just stand there in peace. Put on your best suit and just stand there in peace. Just make it a defiant act in the face of the devil and all the hell that's coming against you. I am healed, and I am not dying of cancer. I don't have to stand here and look all nervous and look all prim and proper. I'm just going to say, I'm chilled and I'm in peace. This is a done deal. I'm standing in the grace of God. Hallelujah. Peace. Like Pastor says, out of peace, out of control. Stand in peace. Why do you have peace? Because Jesus' physical body died on the cross and rose from the dead. It's already done. He became poor. He became sickness. He became death, sin, and disease for you. Stand in peace. The peace of God. And do not be moved no matter what. Well, David, what if the manifestation doesn't take place? Wrong question. What did I spend my 25-minute intro talking about? It already took place on the cross. You have to stop looking at your own fruit in the realm of the natural. The fruit has already been manifest in the life of Jesus on the cross and when He rose from the dead. It's totally justified, totally and completely done. Hallelujah. You do not have to preoccupy yourself with the manifestation. Now, the Lord will tell you what you need to do. He'll tell you, do this business deal. He'll tell you, sell that or don't sell that. He'll tell you what to do and what not to do. If there's a new move you need to make or a doctor that you need to go to, switch doctors because God uses doctors. He'll show you and tell you what to do. But you got to be led by the Spirit of God. But you stay in peace because you've already got your manifestation. And rejoice in the grace of God. Jesus is the author and the finisher of faith. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. I'll wrap up here in a few minutes, but I feel like y'all are we're so caught up and so with what the Lord's doing that we could probably go another hour, but we won't. Just watch it online tomorrow. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12. Looking unto verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Now, they wrote in hour, but that word hour is in italics if you have a King James, which means that was added by the translators. It's not only your faith. That's really not totally correct. Just read it like this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. A lot of us know that Jesus authored faith, but we feel the pressure that we have to finish faith, that we have to finish the job. Jesus authored your faith, but I got good news for you. When he rose from the dead, that was the finishing of all of your faith. Hallelujah. It's already finished. So you do not have to preoccupy yourself with the manifestation, with, what about this and what about that? Stop looking at that. The devil wants to bait you out of the grace of God. Jesus has already preoccupied himself with your manifestation, with your miracle manifestation. You do not have to preoccupy yourself with that. You were created in Christ before the foundation of the world, before the world began. He already created you and gave you every answer to your every prayer. Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead before you were even born. So all of your provision has already been taken care of. You do not have to preoccupy yourself with the manifestation. Hallelujah. God will take care of that for you because he finishes your faith. Hallelujah. When you do this, when you begin to rejoice in the grace of God, and having done all to stand, you stand. In Ephesians, it doesn't say having done all to stand, begin to run around and look for whatever God's got for you. That's not what it says. Having done all to stand, you keep standing in the grace of God. And then you do that long enough. It could be a day. It could be a year. You do that long enough, then you're going to see the manifestation of Jesus having finished your faith. He authors your faith by the preaching of the word. Then he's going to finish it. The manifestation is going to show up. Hallelujah. As sure as I'm, more sure than I'm standing here, the manifestation is going to show up. He has already finished your faith. As sure as he authored it, he has finished it. He has preoccupied himself a millennia ago with the manifestation that you're believing God for. It's already done. The more that you look at it in the realm of the natural and get worried about the manifestation, the more the devil can push you and the more you'll step out of rejoicing in that grace of God. And then it gives the Lord trouble because you're frustrating, what does it say? The grace of God. In Galatians chapter 2, you begin to frustrate the grace of God. And then you begin, like I said, in Malachi 3:10, you're robbing me. How are you robbing God? Because you're robbing God of the ability to bless you. When you step outside of the grace of God, you're robbing God of his ability to finish the faith that he authored in you. Don't try to do Jesus' job anymore. He's already justified you. He has already completed the work on the cross. Rest and be at peace. I was about to say rest in peace, but no, don't do that. It's not tombstone time for you. Some of you are going to go in the rapture. Rest in the peace of God. Rejoice in the grace of God and get happy. Hallelujah. Get happy. Glory to God. Rejoicing in peace. I like those things. Hallelujah. And you're going to see God's breakthrough, God's miracle come and take place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you praise God for that tonight? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. Hallelujah, for the grace of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you stand up on your feet tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. Don't let me stop you from praising God right now. Hallelujah. We're going to pray. We're going to receive an offering for my ministry. But first, we're going to pray. If there's anybody here tonight that you have not received the grace of God for the first time, let me ask you this question. If you were to die right now, do you know for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you would go straight to heaven? You say, people have been in a church service for 2 hours. They have to be saved by now. Well, maybe not. We just want to make sure. If you are in this place and you do not know for sure that you would go straight to heaven, if there's any doubt in your heart, I want to pray with you right now. The grace of God is extended towards you, but you got to receive it. Hallelujah. And you got to receive it by faith right now. There may be a second category of person here tonight. You say, David, I know that I'm going to heaven, but I know that my heart is not right with Jesus. There's just something between me and the Lord, and I know it. It's not just a little one-time sin you repented of, but there is something out of place and out of order in your life and in your relationship with the Lord. And you know it. You feel like you're going to heaven, but you know your heart is just flat, not right with the Lord tonight. Then I want to pray with you too. If there's anybody in this place that fits one of those two categories, tonight is your night. This is the most important decision you'll ever make in responding to the grace of God. He did it on the cross for you. It's already done. You just have to receive it tonight. Hallelujah. And if you're in this place, I want you to raise your hand up in the air on the count of three so I can pray with you and pray for you. Number one, if you know that you're not going to heaven, if you're to die right now, you know for sure that you do not know for sure that you would go to heaven. I want to pray with you. For the second category of person, you know that there is something wrong in your heart. Something between you and Jesus is just not right. If that's you, just raise your hand right now on the count of three. One, two, three. Just put it up in the air and wave it at me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If there's anybody, just want to make sure tonight, nobody slips through the nets here at Calvary Cathedral. Amen. Anybody, if the Lord's speaking to your heart, if there's any doubt in your heart right now, just raise your hand and wave it at me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, David, I don't want to go up there all alone. Hey, I'm up here all alone. Give me some company. If there's anybody, we may all be saved here tonight. I'll just ask one more time. If there's anybody here tonight, you need to get right with God, just raise your hand and wave it at me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're all saved folk here tonight. We'll grab your seat. We'll dismiss in just about 3 or 4 minutes.